Welcome into the expansive world of cis society, a space where taboos dissolve, shadows become allies, and sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality are celebrated as gateways to truth. This is Taboo Talks, a podcast where no topic is off limits, and everything is held with courage, compassion, and curiosity. Together, let's shatter the limits of what we've been taught to fear and transform it into the power to live fully, freely, and authentically. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Goop, and honestly, we just love them. They're not afraid to go there. Sensuality, sexuality, even the taboo. From luxurious pleasure tools to thought-provoking conversations, Goop invites us to explore our bodies with curiosity and reverence. And right now, they're offering the Sensual Self, which is a curated journey into pleasure, embodiment, and truth. Head over to goop.com/sensualself to dive right in. You deserve it.
Welcome back, everyone, to Taboo Talk. We are really excited for this episode today as we continue deepening this discussion all around demystifying, squirting, this type of orgasm, as well as continuing just talking about prostate orgasms and in general, like what are these significant types of orgasmic experiences. And today we're going to be really going into more around perhaps what's blocking us from having these different types of orgasmic experiences that we hear about, but maybe a lot of us have never really experienced for ourselves. I know personally that today's talk feels like it's going to be really expansive and perhaps getting to the root of what's actually blocking us from surrendering into these states. So without further ado, so excited to welcome on Victoria Angel Hart onto our show today. She is an executive coach and ceremony musician, psychedelic guide, and founder of Tap Into Freedom, psychedelic EFT. She's a passionate pleasure permissionary who brings people out of their minds and into their heart space, specializing in embodied intimacy and somatic healing, serving as a transformational guide for personal growth. Victoria empowers clients to lead, live, and love fully expressed using music, meditation, EFT tapping, and psychedelic guidance to foster authentic, heart-centered transformation. So not only are we going to be chatting with Victoria today about all of these topics, but she's actually going to be leading us through an embodied EFT tapping practice. So make sure you stay tuned to the second half of the episode where we're going to drop into that, as well as hear one of her brand new songs as a musician. This is going to be a really juicy episode. Welcome on to the show, Victoria.
Thank you. Thanks. So happy to be here with both of you.
Yeah, so I would love to just get in there, and there's so many words that stand out to me, like EFT, psychedelic, mindful masturbation. Can you just kind of share a little bit more about this really unique work that you offer and what kind of clients you serve?
Yeah, I call my work Tap Into Freedom, psychedelic EFT, and it's based on the 16 personal growth modality certifications that I have. My foundation is in mindfulness meditation. I know, right? I've spent the last decade going hard. So I started out as a meditation teacher and then expanded a lot and found after I was teaching mindfulness meditation, I got into psychedelic NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and I became an NLP coach focusing on using low doses of mushrooms for behavior change and specifically to break free of limiting beliefs. And I just happened at the same time I was doing that to become a professional cuddler. And a lot of my clients were tech executives, and they were men who were really burned out and they were really suffering in their personal lives. And so I started realizing that I could use the NLP training that I had to help them break free of limiting beliefs around their sexuality. And so then I did a lot of trainings in somatic sex education, sexological body work, and tantra to really drop in deeper to being able to create lasting transformation. And then I discovered EFT along that journey. And if you don't know what EFT is, it stands for the Emotional Freedom Technique, and it's where you physically tap on parts of your body, and as you tap on these parts, they're the acupuncture meridian lines, and so just like you get a needle put in, you physically tap on these meridians to help release the somatically stored stress. And so what I found was in my own healing journey that there were people who were helping me to heal my mind, and they were helping me to other people helped me to connect to my spirit. And then there was another subset of people who could really help me get into my body. But I wasn't finding anyone who could actually combine them all. So I've been on a mission to create my own modality that actually fuses together mind, body, and spiritual healing, specifically around something that's super taboo, which is sexuality. And I have found over and over again that one of the biggest issues that my clients face is performance anxiety. And I also coach musicians. So I coach musicians around performance anxiety, just as I coach people around performance anxiety in bed. And it really honestly is no different.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, you know, the thing I didn't mention is the psychedelic part, like really get into it. And I'm a ketamine-assisted therapist, except I don't do therapy. That's the training that I had, but I actually do EFT tapping in ketamine-assisted sessions and as integration and preparation. And so I do those also as a way of dropping into this embodied intimacy field of how can I be more connected to myself through the ketamine work so that I can come out and have neuroplasticity to be able to actually transform my old beliefs and habits and even my own, the way that my body has been reacting, so I can create new, powerful pathways to pleasure, essentially, through this work.
Wow. You're a big fat. Yeah, thank you so much for all of your studying and work and your mission in the world. It's so important.
Yeah, really grateful. Like, just the fact that you've, like, when you spoke into how these pieces were separate, mind, body, spirit, right? It's easy to find, like, a therapist to focus on the mind or, you know, a yoga teacher to focus on the body, but to really, like, begin to combine them all intentionally is just the trifecta. It's, like, it's the method. It's the way to go. And yeah, I'm really grateful that you're bringing this to the world. And I would love, there's a few words that spoke out specifically. The first one is mindful masturbation. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to just go into that a bit more, because I'm curious and I want to know what that means to you.
Yeah, mindful masturbation is something that I learned about in my sexological bodywork training. And I immediately, when I heard the term, I was like, duh. Because I was already a meditation teacher. And so to me, mindfulness is the pillar and the cornerstone of doing anything well. If you're not really mindful and you're not really paying attention, you're probably not going to be able to enjoy it a whole lot. And so for masturbation, what mindful masturbation means when I teach it for my clients, I do things in community. I call them solo self-pleasure ceremonies, and I bring a group of 10 to 12 people together to be able to all learn how to masturbate in community, which is really fun. And then I do a lot of this work. I call it confident lover training sessions, and those are one-on-one. And in both of them, what I'm really trying to offer in the mindful masturbation is dropping out of performance and being in presence. And so if I can offer our listeners any sort of tip here, it's if you want to cultivate a mindful masturbation practice, you need to start with letting go of expectation that you're going to come. It's like the first most important step is letting go of that attachment to the outcome. Because mindfulness is not getting somewhere. It's actually enjoying the process of what's happening as it's happening. And so in a mindful masturbation process, you when you practice it, you really want to come in tracking, okay, what is my intention? Not what is my desired outcome, but what is my intention? And oftentimes an intention can be to be more exploratory or to get a deeper understanding of the felt senses in my yoni or whatever body part you might have. So coming in with a clear intention is key. And then the practice itself is really different every single time based on what your intention is. But there are some key things that you want to focus on. You want to focus on first breath. Obviously, if mindfulness is in the title, mindfulness is a lot about breathing. And so can you actually be present before you even touch your genitals and masturbate? Can you just be aware that your whole body is breathing? I like to invite in anal breathing, which is a really fun way of letting that sphincter open and close and bringing the breath literally down into the genitals. And so in a mindful masturbation practice, you want to start with breath, and then you want to cultivate touch. And that touch, as you're doing it, is not just directly going to the genitals. And it's, again, it's not outcome focused. It's really focused specifically on curiosity and being with what is happening rather than where you want to go. And so as you're touching, I always recommend to start with the hands, just touching your own hands and feeling what is it like to touch the hand, and then what is it like to receive the touch from inside of the hand. And so really just getting meta with your awareness, just with so much openness and curiosity. And then when you eventually get to your genitals, as you stimulate other erogenous parts, maybe it's your face, maybe it's your nipples, wherever it is, when you get to your genitals, slowing down and really tracking, how good does this feel? And how could this feel even better? And when we are able to follow what feels good, it's going to be a successful mindful masturbation, whether or not anyone has an orgasm. So what do you think about that?
It sounds like a beautiful journey. I mean, we're obviously talking about squirting, right? Which is like essentially an outcome. And so I think it's interesting that like through this whole process, and when we talked about orgasms, when we had another topic, we again realized through that process that it wasn't about the orgasm. It was about the journey. It's not about the destination.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would love to hear a little bit more about just like how, I guess, yeah, how on the pathway to squirting, right, can women and men, because prostate orgasms are kind of the, like the Shiva version of the, of this experience, surrender, relax, drop into themselves, right? Like how much of the blockages there are mind, how much of them are body? I'm just like kind of curious to feel into that space with you.
Yeah.
And to piggyback off that just like sharing a little bit more around where this performance anxiety comes from and how we can handle that with love and care. Because personally for me, I've had a lot of performance anxiety, both with myself and with partners. And I run into a lot of obstacles, like honestly, because I put pressure on myself or I feel pressure from my partner, like even if they're not trying to, right? Like it's very normal for your partner to want you to be in pleasure. And so, yeah, as you're sharing this journey, just like I want to really be vulnerable in sharing this because I think there's so many men and women who experience some sort of performance anxiety. And even if it's not you that's experiencing like it, maybe your partner feels that anxiety of them wanting you to have that experience. So not just talking about in masturbation, but if we could also talk about it as it relates to like sharing that with a partner too, that'd be really helpful.
There's so much here.
So I know, I
start
so much.
With just actually telling you my own experience. This is so fun. I'm so glad I'm going to finally get to speak publicly about my first time squirting because it really speaks to all of this. So I've been sharing this story for a few years, and it's one of my most favorite stories to tell because for many years I thought that I could probably squirt, but I could feel this like pressure that just like wouldn't come out, and I couldn't do anything about it. And so I felt judged by my partner sometimes because I felt like they wanted me to squirt, and I was trying, but in that trying, I was also subconsciously blocking myself. And so what I'll say the most about squirting and performance anxiety is that the more you try, the further away from it you're actually going to get. And what it, my experience was, after I was trained in sexological bodywork, I started understanding the anatomy of squirting, and the how was very, very, very obvious to me. But none of the videos I watched, none of the lectures I attended, none of the sessions would explain why my body still couldn't do it. Because technically I could. Like in my mind I could. But there was some huge block for me. And then I decided to try 3 different male sexological body workers to give me sessions to, quote, make me squirt. Mm-hmm. And in each, the outcome was so clear. Like, it will be a success if I squirt. It will be a failure if I don't squirt. And I was really caught up in that story as well, because I wanted it so badly. And what I experienced in each session is that the harder they were trying to make me squirt, the more my body actually locked up and shut down and froze. Mm-hmm. And one time I even went into a complete dissociative trauma response. And it took me a few hours to recognize that, wow, I was actually in freeze. And I wasn't experiencing any pleasure. So I think that for especially a lot of women who have sexual trauma, trying to pressure yourself to do anything, specifically something as intense as squirting, might lead to regression and might lead to the freeze response, because there have been times in your life that you haven't felt safe. And when you are trying to push yourself, like literally push yourself into doing something new, when you don't have a felt sense of safety in your body, you're just going to cause harm, and you're not going to experience pleasure, because you can't feel pleasure when you don't feel safe. So mm-hmm. I just want to articulate that one of the biggest lessons that I received was that pleasure starts with safety. Mm-hmm. And when your nervous system is down-regulated, and when you, especially when you're with a partner, when you can actually physiologically be in, I'm going to finally say this publicly, my favorite word, I've been teaching this word for years, reloused. When you are reloused, relaxed mm. and aroused is my favorite Ooh. Word. Please yeah. quote me on it.
Yes.
When you are reloused, that is the ultimate state for your body to experience heightened pleasure, because you're not in hypervigilance or hyperarousal. You are actually softened. Your body is present and it is open. It is receptive. And so what I found, my experience was that in these 3 intentional squirting sessions, I didn't come anywhere close to squirting. I just found that my body felt contracted and a sense of shame and a sense of obligation of like, they are mm-hmm. obligated to make me squirt and I feel shame when I don't do it. So, Alfina, that might speak to you and some of the partner stuff, like this performance anxiety of, if I don't do this thing that they want me to do, then they're going to feel bad, or they're going to judge me, or I'm going to judge myself. And it can be this loop that we get so caught up in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
It creates so much suffering.
Yeah.
And so here's how I broke out of it. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to tell this publicly. This is a fucking hilarious story. Okay, to all the listeners out there, I was on a meditation retreat.
Go on a meditation retreat to
yes,
squirt.
The squirting this is, story starts.
I already love it so much.
So much. Yes. So I was on 17 days of silence, and I was at a retreat center where, luckily, it was like very early COVID times, and so I had my own room, so I wasn't having to share with anyone. But I was doing sexological bodywork homework, which was to do a mindful masturbation practice every day for a month. And the whole idea is that you can orgasm if it happens, but that's not the goal. And the intention is really to just be in the experience of what pleasure feels like when you come from a place of curiosity. And so for the first 11 days of my silent meditation retreat, I had a ritual, and I used these toys that my boyfriend had bought me, and I was just playing with myself, and I was just in ecstasy and bliss and having a great time. But I was not even considering squirting. I was just enjoying mindful masturbation because I was so dropped in. I mean, I was so attuned to my body in this way that is hard to get to when you're talking, basically. And so on the 12th day, it's like the 12 days of Christmas.
The 12-day big orgasm.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
On the 12th day, I had this experience where I did the same thing I had been doing, but I got myself into almost a trance state of relousal, where I was really focusing on breath. In sexological body work, we talk a lot about using rhythmic breath as a way to induce that state that can really help enhance arousal. And so I was focusing more on breath because obviously I'd been meditating for 12 days. And so as I focused on breath, I started noticing my body moving in this very rhythmic serpentine way. And I started noticing that everything was flowing more through me. And then I got the toys that I had been playing with, and I just did exactly what I had been doing. And then all of a sudden, I had this weird feeling inside of me. And then I felt that my butt was wet. I thought, was that? Did I? No, there's no way. And so I just like kind of ignored the fact that I thought I squirted, because that wasn't what I was trying to do. And I was really in this like hypnotic state. So I kept going, and a few seconds later, I exploded. And it was the wildest thing, because I couldn't make a sound. Because I'm in this dorm room at this meditation center. And so I'm experiencing the ultimate pleasure and release that I've ever felt in my whole life, and I'm completely silent. But after I rested for a second, I literally got up and I started jumping up and down and just like silently screaming, I squirted, I squirted. Because at this point, after doing three sessions with professionals, I just thought I was never going to squirt. So I had honestly just given up, and I had let go. And I think it was in that complete release of expectation or desire or need for it to happen that my body finally really did feel safe enough to release. And it was such a magical experience to have it on my own. No one gave me an orgasm. No one made me squirt. My body felt safe enough to open and release. And that's what I want for every woman, to have that embodied, empowered experience, that squirting comes from within you, and that no human on the outside is going to make you squirt. It is your own body's willingness to let this amrita, this beautiful fluid, come up and come out and come through you.
Wow, this is such a beautiful story about surrender, surrendering expectations, just surrendering to our bodies, not trying to push ourselves. And I feel like I'm at the same place right now where I've been so goal oriented. Like, I want to squirt. I literally like had this little fairy scroll that you can make a wish a year ago, and I wrote, I want to squirt in there. Put the scroll in my altar, and it's been on my altar for over a year. It's like, I've been trying so hard to manifest it. And like, the message I'm hearing from you is actually just need to completely like let it go and just be like mindful and present with my practice, even more so. And I'm really curious how, I have two questions for you about your experience. One, is there something different you were doing in that practice? You were saying you were in a hypnotic state, but is like technically, was there something you were doing differently with your fingers or touching a different part of your yoni? And then my other question is, how did that experience squirting on your own then affect your relationship and your sexual experiences with your partner? And was he able to help you squirt in the future after that?
Yeah, I was using a glass dildo and a clit sucker. So I'm sure there will be many horny men listening to this episode super fantasizing about this detail. And those two things I recommend for every woman. Oh my God. Please, if you don't already have one.
So like a vibrator, you're using like one of the clit sucker vibrators?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Babe, as soon as you said it, my whole body, like from crown to root, was just like, yes.
Yeah, it's called the womanizer. Yeah. Ooh. So definitely recommend the womanizer.
We'll link that in so everyone who's listening can purchase one ASAP. Yes.
10 out of 10 recommend. So I was getting both direct clitoral stimulation and internal stimulation, and I knew where using the wand where it would hit, that would be like in the tissue that would stimulate the response of the amrita starting to build, and at the same time I was not focusing on that. It just sort of happened because, like I said, my whole body was undulating. And so while I wasn't just like over here just like shoving it in, like, you know, there's so many like ways that we like try to force ourselves, like, I'm gonna experience this the way that I see it in porn. No. It was nothing like anything I've ever seen in porn. It was so fluid and natural. My body was moving the way that it felt like that felt good. I was doing exactly what I was saying earlier, following what feels good. And so my body just happened to get on that place that was like, ooh, okay, I'm hitting the urethral sponge now. Oh gosh, okay. And so, yeah, I would recommend just coming in with an attitude of curiosity to get to know your own anatomy and to really start to understand, where can I touch myself both with my fingers or with a toy or have a partner touch me that builds that sort of pressure, that starts feeling that orgasmic energy is coming, that the squirting could happen. So that's the answer to your first question. And my partner at the time, bless him, was the luckiest man on earth. He was just so fucking stoked when I came back and was like, I learned how to squirt. And he was like, squirt all over me.
It's Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas. Yeah. And hilariously, one of my favorite anecdotes is that I was at a sex party a few years later, and we had been broken up for a while at this point, and I was playing with another guy, and my ex came up to that guy right when I was having an orgasm and said to him, dude, she squirts like a fountain, and then walked away.
Mic drop.
It was like the ultimate moment. I was like, wow. Yep. So that's, everyone in my community has heard that story at this point. It's hilarious. And I'll say that what changed was not that, Elfina, the word you said is help you squirt. So I have not met a lot of other women who are like me, so this might not be something that everyone can do, but I've found that I choose when I squirt. So I basically squirt on demand, like when I demand it or when I command it, rather than it's something that happens to me. I know a lot of women have the experience when they're being penetrated firmly and deeply in that, in like a particular angle, it happens to them. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm saying that, like, yes, let's make that happen as well. But I think that when you can start to have more ownership and empowerment of your own body, that you are the one ultimately driving the ship here when it comes to your pleasure, that it can take some of the pressure off your partner, because your partner no longer has to feel like, oh, if I don't make her squirt, I'm not doing it right. Or it can take the pressure off you to think that like they're not a good lover because they can't make me squirt. All of those things are all wrapped up in performance anxiety, of like really being in your head trying to accomplish something rather than being in your body with what's actually happening.
Yeah, I hear the deepest invitation is to explore our bodies, right? Yeah. And to recognize that, like, if this is, well, possible or poosible, as I like to say, everything is poosible, that you're living as an example of what is possible for other women. And I think I shared this with you, Elfina, but I went to a tantric workshop, and this woman was able to make herself have an orgasm on demand just with her breath, like just starting to circulate the kundalini energy. And, you know, she had done like years and years of like deep connection and communion with her body, like, you know, just getting to know it, getting curious around it, exploring its angles and edges and textures. Yeah. And we've talked about this before, but I feel like as women, like it's my sacred responsibility to really like deepen in communion with my, I'm such a word witch, with my body and with my sacred waters, which ultimately could lead to a space of squirting and release. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like personal empowerment. Cause I really resonate with so much of what you're saying, where the story is either there's something wrong with me and there's like some shame, there's some judgment I put on myself, or it's like, oh, well, my partner just needs to learn these techniques and needs to do this. And then there's like this expectation on him, and both of those are really unhealthy. And so I'm wondering, like, after that initial practice of squirting with the toy and in this like meditative hypnotic state, how are you able to get to that place then going forward? You said it was about surrender, but then you're saying it was also about like choosing when you wanted to do it. So it kind of sounds like it switched from completely letting it go to actually being so empowered and being able to activate it for yourself. So when were you able to activate that for yourself, and how did that look then going forward?
I think it was a process over time of just playing with it and just really starting to, once I had unlocked my superpower, I was like, okay, like what else is possible? And so I went through a really deep time of just a lot of practice, and I was still connected in my sexological bodywork school to other people who were having similar experiences, and so I was able to do like practices where they would I forgot what we call that practice. It's basically where we do hands-on, hands-in practices with each other for genital mapping. That's what it's called. And so as I would receive genital mapping from someone else, or I would do it for myself, I'd start to get to know, like, what is it that makes this sensation stronger in me? And then when I would have sex with a partner, I would start to just track. So it was just all mindfulness. Like, when do I feel like I'm going to squirt? And then can I hold on to that feeling, or do I completely surrender to it? Or for me, what I started realizing is that not every person that I connected with had an interest in squirting. And there were some people who it was like overwhelming to, or some people who were turned off by it. And so I started realizing that there was this way in which that I was so wild and free with my squirting and my sexuality and my noises and everything, but it wasn't always well received. And so I could have my own empowerment of like, how much I want to modulate to meet the other person in an attuned way, rather than just bringing this like full, big, wild, squirt like a fountain experience, which might not actually be something that they're into. But it doesn't, because I can do it on my own, I don't need to do it with every person every time I have sex. And so I think a lot of it comes down to attunement. And that's a word I haven't really spoken on this podcast, but it's one of the main words in everything that I teach, is how attuned can I be to what my body is actually saying to me in this moment? And how attuned can I be to my lover or my partner, to what their body is saying to me, both verbally and non-verbally?
Yeah, just coming back to like the self over and over and over again. And if there's something we want to unlock and share with anyone else, it really is a journey that starts within. And the more we can practice and cultivate that pleasure and mindfulness and attunement with ourselves, then we can start to attune and resonate with others and see where they're able to meet us. And that's like such an important word that my partner and I use a lot, is attunement and resonance.
Yeah.
I have another question around performance anxiety.
Yeah.
And so up until about a year ago, I was reliant on, I'm going to be really vulnerable here, but like I was reliant on vibrators to be able to orgasm. And this is why I'm now in school for love, sex, and relationship coaching, because it's been like one of the biggest obstacles in my life, being so growing up so repressed and disconnected from my sexuality with religious conditioning, and just the society we live in, and sexual abuse and all this. And now I've been really just devoted to my own practice, like cultivating my own practice, and I can have really incredible orgasms by myself. Yet sometimes I feel like when I have sex with my partner, when I'm making love with my partner, that I experience performance anxiety, where I get in my head. And I just went through this period where I basically was like, you know what? I'm not going to have any expectation. I'm not going to have any agenda. I'm not going to try to make myself orgasm. That's not going to be my goal. And as soon as I made that decision, we started having the most psychedelic sex ever. Like, we started having energetic orgasms, full body orgasms. like the pleasure just increased so much. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. And we were like, I was riding that way for like a few weeks, a month. But then what started happening is that I wasn't orgasming. Like I wasn't coming anymore. And then now I'm kind of in this place where like, okay, I figured out how to come with him, but then it felt like I was getting caught in like that. And then it was taking me out of my mindfulness, mm-hmm. like being in the technique of coming. It was working, but it was taking me out of being present and mindful and experiencing this other range of pleasure. But then we moved to this other extreme where it was like super pleasurable, but then I wasn't like coming. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's been hard. It's like, how am I present without any expectation? But how do I also get my needs met? So that I can also come sometimes, like that's important. And I'm curious if you have advice about this as well.
Well, a curiosity when I hear you say this is, it sounds like you differentiate energetic orgasm from coming.
Yeah, to me that's different, you know? I want to be able to come with my partner too. I want to be able to have, not all the time, like I don't need that. Like I give that to myself, but I also want to share that mm-hmm. with him. Right. And I know that like for a man, like that's, they want to be able to like please their partners. Like it's like an important thing for men to give as well. So, or like to be present for as well. So until this last year, I actually struggled to orgasm on my own without the help of a toy. I felt dependent. I felt hopeless. And I honestly felt like there was something wrong with me. But within just 2 weeks of starting this course, I had my first orgasm from my own touch. And I was like, hallelujah, I'm not broken. And it's just opened up so much since then. I can honestly say it's just gotten better and wetter from there. So OMGS course is a fun, user-friendly course packed with all sorts of different videos and techniques and showcases a myriad of different women. And it will completely shift the way that you experience pleasure. So whether you're struggling with orgasms or maybe you just want to amplify your pleasure, both solo and with a partner, this course is truly a game changer. You can use the link in our show notes below to unlock your orgiastic potential and also to support the expansion of the cis society movement. Now back to your show.
Well, I think what really comes up is just thinking about Urban Tantra and Barbara Corrales. And if you haven't read that book, 10 out of 10 recommend. It's so good. She's been a dear teacher of mine for several years. She's so pro vibrator as like a great tool for orgasming. And I want to just kind of, I'm going to paraphrase. I might not be exactly saying what she's saying, but what I'm getting at is what I'm taking away from her work that I integrate into my own is that you can come with a tongue, with a finger, with a vibrator, with a dick, like with whatever you want and still have an orgasm, and they can all count if you choose for them to. If you want to limit yourself to, if I'm not having a clitoral orgasm with his dick inside of me, then I'm not technically coming, then you can choose to believe that. But there are so many other ways to experience pleasure that just limiting yourself to this is the only way or else it's not happening, I think is something that is kind of a self-created cycle of suffering. Whereas like if you open yourself to choosing, like I could have an orgasm in an energetic way and then he could go down on me and then I could play with my wand and have another orgasm and then he could go back inside of me and then who knows, maybe I'll finally like squirt this time because I'm not even thinking about it. Like so many things are possible that I think going beyond just limiting yourself to believing that if it's not this one way, it's not right or it's not what I want. Like that I think is probably the thing I find the most frequently with clients that creates their own suffering.
I'm so happy that you brought in this belief system work because it was coming up before as you were speaking, I think. And I'm like, I feel like the bulk of this is just around our belief systems, around like what we can and can't do or how something should be done. And most of it is not ours. It's like a collective narrative that we've been carrying. Like as you were speaking into this, like I pretty much predominantly use a vibrator and like that's how I've predominantly come. And there's been so much shame around that for me, around like, I'm desensitized, I'm numb, like I can't experience pleasure. There's something wrong with me. And like, I'm still having these like glorious, like divine cosmic orgasms with this beautiful tool that I've ultimately been like, I mean, kind of like pissing on, you know. I'm like, oh yeah, like you're doing the job, but like I could do it better myself. But you know, it's like it's just such an interesting way that we can psychologically pull ourselves into unnecessary pieces of suffering. So yeah, thank you. Like everything is poosyable.
Yeah, I'm hearing like shifting our perspective and being like, wow, I'm opening up to all these other types of orgasmic peak experiences versus just clinging on and trying to gain this one specific way of achieving that. And then that also just softens, loosens the expectations, and it allows that to happen more naturally. And also, I'm not going to go really into this on this episode, but I've been really interested in learning about the different yoni types. You know, there's like antelope, deer, bear, wolf, like dancer. There's these different yoni types. And I've been doing some deep research into those different yoni types, and every yoni type needs such different things. So I think there's also a lot of agency that every woman and men have also their own lingam types. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of research and like learning we can do to empower ourselves for what we need, because oftentimes we only see this one way of making love. It's deep, it's fast, it's penetrative, it's hard, right? But like specifically my yoni type is like very energetic. And it's like subtle pauses, stillness, eye gazes. Like it's very like tantric and very like not like what we see. So I think also like it's easy to get discouraged as a woman if we're not experiencing the pleasure we want. But if we don't understand what we actually need in our specific yoni type, then it can feel very disempowering. We don't even know what to communicate to our partners. They don't know. They can't read our minds. They maybe have never had a partner with our yoni. They may have never, you know, had love making like this. So I also just want to speak to this piece of like, instead of staying in this victim story of this is just who I am, this is just how I am, this is just what happens to me. It's like, how can we also take more agency and figure out what it is that we specifically need? And a lot of that comes from mindfulness, and it also can come from looking into some of these different ways of understanding our yoni types too. Yeah, that feels just an important thing to say.
Absolutely. And I would recommend everyone who is struggling with something similar to do a 30-day mindful masturbation practice. Who knows? Maybe I'll start a challenge and hold a group. That would be fun. I'm sure all of them.
Invitation. I
Because
love this.
once you start to really get to know, like, how many people have actually looked in the mirror at their genitals and done genital mapping to actually see what are the different parts that are going on down here, and learning the anatomy, and then learning how do I find what feels good? Well, you have to practice and you have to take the time. And so I'm really hearing you in that sense of like, okay, this new way of being curious is probably going to be more empowering for me than being performative or having to follow what I've seen or think I should be doing. And that's one thing I wanted to say is a lot of my work has been with men. So I want to speak to any male listeners who might be here who are struggling with erectile dysfunction or performance anxiety or premature ejaculation. All of those I've put in the same umbrella. That almost always has to do with confidence. And it's this sense of I don't trust my penis. I don't trust that I can hold my erection long enough. I don't trust that I can get an erection. I don't trust I can keep it. I don't trust that I won't come before I'm ready. And I want to just reassure anyone listening that you actually have control and that you can learn how to be so present in your body that you are aware of the different stages of erection, so that I use a number scale from 0 to 10, so that you never get above a 7, and you can always bring yourself back down so that you don't get to a 9 or a 10, which is when you ejaculate, until you're ready. It is 100% possible for every single man to choose when they ejaculate and to have full body energetic orgasms. And so that's been a lot of my work. Has been empowering men to have that confidence to believe in themselves, which then makes their partners a lot happier because sex lasts longer and they're more attuned and they're more mindful and slowed down and present. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, if we can just go into that for a few more minutes, because this whole show has predominantly been about female pleasure. Like, can you share a little bit more around? I know this is really common for men ejaculate before they're ready and wanting to be more retentive with their semen. So, what's like your top tips? What's your advice? How do you boost their confidence? What specific practices do you encourage them to do?
Yeah, in my confident lover training sessions, they're 3 hours long, and the first hour and a half is just tapping. And we do EFT tapping around whatever emotion it is that they feel. Most of the time, it's shame or it's fear. And so once we can unblock those feelings and those feelings don't exist anymore, so much more possibility is possible. And then in the actual practices of teaching mindful masturbation to be able to have ejaculatory choice, it starts with presence, slowness, and attention. So where is your mind? If you're fantasizing about what you want to happen, or you're like in a scene in your mind, you're not going to have very good control over your body because you're not even in it. And so many men have been conditioned through porn culture to have these very particular visions of sex should be this way and things that they want to try. And when that happens, then they often lose control because they're not present. And so one of my top tips is there's two books that I would recommend that everyone who listens to this definitely read. For women, it's called Tantric Orgasms for Women by Diana Richardson, and her partner book for men is called Tantric Sex for Men: Making Love a Meditation. And those I recommend for every single one of my clients to read as soon as we get started together. And in the book Tantric Sex for Men: Making Love a Meditation, the tip is to really be with the breath and slow down when you start to feel it getting too intense. And so I literally have my clients practice stopping touching themselves and taking slow, deep breaths where they physically use their hands to pull the energy up from their lingam through their whole body and circulate it back down. So the microcosmic orbit can be a really helpful practice for listeners who know what that is. I'm not going to get into it. But more than just that practice, it is about spreading the energy out so that your whole body becomes orgasmic and that you're actually enjoying the pleasure that you're having rather than feeling rushed to get to the finish line. And so for men who are struggling with their premature ejaculation, when they can track that they are pressuring themselves not to come, trying not to come, or forcing themselves to somehow do something to stop themselves from coming, then that starts to open up more possibility of, okay, what if I just slow down? What if I am just present? What if I just track that I have this old pattern that wants to continue to try to stop myself? Oh no, and freak myself out, which then like makes it uncomfortable for the girl, and then like everything can be so awkward. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I would 10 out of 10 recommend reading that book and sessions with someone who is trained in something like somatic sex education, sexological body work, tantra. These are all modalities that help to use the breath and sound and movement and touch and intention to cultivate a more aware sense of sexuality and pleasure so that you have more choice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about fantasizing earlier, so I'm glad that came up because, yeah, I oftentimes feel like I wonder about fantasizing and how that relates when we're in our own practice, masturbating versus like when we're with a partner, and how that can be like helpful at times, but how it can also be really destructive too, especially if we are with someone and we're not being present with them. So thank you for touching on that. Yeah, it sounds like what I'm hearing is just it's all about like true empowered love making and orgasmic bliss. It just feels like it's meditation. It's just like a meditation practice.
Exactly.
Just
And
breath, presence, surrendering any thoughts, expectations.
Presence.
Yeah,
Presence.
I
Like
was the featured
magnifying the presence.
teacher. Oh, sorry, Heather, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, I was piggybacking on the present part. It was just like coming through so strong, like presence, 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 like bringing ourselves back as a practice. to this moment, to this sensation, to this breath.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is I'm on Insight Timer. I was one of their featured teachers for a while, and I started teaching about the parts of the body you're not supposed to talk about, because I'm like, yo, we're doing body scans, but we're not talking, we're going from the thighs to the belly. Like, there's a big part here between the thighs and the belly. And so I like to say that I'm teaching meditation for the parts of the body that you're not supposed to talk about. And I think they're the most important parts. So I'm so glad to be doing the taboo talks with you to really bring more awareness to all of this.
This is so important. Thank you. And I love that there's a crown, like, perfectly positioned over your head with the background.
That is amazing.
This background is incredible. Like, octopus crown queen going on. Oh, there we go. That's
you. The serpent, kundalini energy. I see the lotus. Okay. We've got it all. It's all happening. Activating me is just even, I know you want to, just right before you share, is just, like, this concept of, like, meditating and scanning, like, my yoni in that, like, whole area, like, in detail, really, like, sitting with it and feeling as much as I can possibly feel without actually using my hands and touching feels like such an exciting practice that just came through after you shared what you shared. So I just want to thank you and let you know that I'm super excited to jump into that ASAP.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we could talk about this for hours and hours, and just for the sake of this episode, we can always do a part two, but I want to transition now into the EFT tapping and take everything you've been sharing and really start to integrate it and give listeners an opportunity to practice. So whether you're a woman or a man, whether you experience performance anxiety or maybe like a lot of fantasizing, or maybe you feel like there's blockages around your pleasure, whatever your intention is, just creating that. And then, yeah, if you're listening to this, you can even pause this and get ready, get yourself set up in like a comfortable ceremonial space. And then Victoria is going to guide us through about a 20-minute practice together, which I'm really excited to receive.
Yeah. Yeah, so the things that you need to be really successful on an EFT tapping journey are tissues and a pen and a journal. So go ahead and just track and water. So get those things if you need them. I'm going to take a sip of water. So like I said at the beginning of the episode, I've created my own modality out of the 16 certifications that I have that I call Tap into Freedom. And a lot of it is rooted in EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique. And that is, I'm going to take you through a mini tap today. So this is not a full practice. My sessions with clients are normally between an hour and 90 minutes long. We're going to do a 20-minute practice that will start to really help you to see new perspectives and to just help you to feel more comfortable with what it is, and to give you more clarity about if this is a practice that could work for you. So I like to describe EFT as a mind-body healing tool that combines acupressure, cognitive therapy, exposure therapy, parts work, and mindfulness. And so it's similar to acupuncture. Like I was saying earlier, you tap on the meridian points instead of using needles. And as we use our fingers to tap, we stimulate the somatic stored stress in the body. And as we do that, we give the body a signal that it's safe to feel and to release whatever is arising. I love this saying, you gotta feel it to heal it. And so when it comes to performance anxiety in particular, we don't want to feel anxious and we don't want to like have these emotions. So it can be hard to even want to do this tap because you might not want to have to face it. So I just recommend being really gentle with yourself and know that this is going to help you release stuck emotional energy and process traumas and rewire limiting beliefs and create new neural pathways. And it's kind of like emotional hygiene for your nervous system. And it really helps with neuroplasticity. And so you're going to actually have a chance to rewire your brain right now around performance anxiety. I love this. So as we do it, I want to just start by telling you what the tapping points are. We're going to start at the top of the head with one hand or both hands tapping just gently and rhythmically, and then coming down to right inside of the eyebrows where the hair starts, and then tapping on the sides of the eye on the temples, and then under the eye on the cheeks. And then with one hand coming on the under the nose, and with that same hand tapping right on the chin. So these are all the points on the face, and you can do those, like I said, with one hand or with both hands. Then we take both hands and we drop down right below the collarbone, and we tap right here on the front of the chest, and you kind of go all around the front of the chest. There's a lot of lines that run through the chest. Then down below the breast on the front of the ribs. And this next one is the most awkward. It's the under the armpit, so out on the side of your ribs. So you can tap like this, or you can cross your arms and tap each hand on the other armpit. Then you come here to the inside of the wrist, and you tap on one wrist. And then you come up to the thumb, and you're tapping on the side of the thumb by the nail bed. And then you do that same thing for the index finger, and the same thing for the middle finger. But it's different for the ring finger. You tap the bottom side of the ring finger. And that's because of the meridian point ending down here in between the ring and the pinky. Then you come back to the top side of the pinky. And the final point that we'll be using is to tap on the side of the hand. It's called the karate chop point. So those are the most comprehensive series of tapping points. And some tapping practitioners use fewer, but I like to use them all because it really gets to be more comprehensive. So if you've done tapping before, this might be a little bit different. And during this session, I'm going to be saying phrases out loud. And so you're going to repeat them after me in a call and response style. And so these phrases are going to reflect the thoughts, the emotions, and the experiences that you're working through, in this case, performance anxiety. But I don't want you to just parrot what I'm saying. You know, in school, we had to repeat after the teacher. It's not that. I want you to actually listen to what I'm saying. And if my words don't resonate, please change them to make it a word that fits what you're going through. So if I say anxiety, but you realize it's actually fear, please change it to say fear. Stick with what's true for you. And the most magical part as we get started is that we want to pair the phrases with statements of empathy and acceptance, such as, even though I feel this performance anxiety, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. That is not a thing that you usually hear together because it's a negative cognition paired with a positive cognition. I like to call it a mindfuck. It's technically called psychological reversal. But what you need to know is that we're going to have enough cognitive dissonance to shake up your performance anxiety pattern and open your brain up to change. And as we do that, your body may do some very silly things. It may burp or fart. It may get tingly. It may get really hot or cold. You may yawn. A lot of people yawn. I think I saw Elfina already yawned. You might get emotional. You might suddenly feel clarity. All of your body's responses are totally normal. It's called off-gassing. We're just releasing the stored stress. And also, one last thing is that sometimes your emotions will intensify before they release, and that's okay. Just keep breathing and keep tapping. You're safe. And this is just the beginning of your healing, so please know that this is a mini tap, and as we go through this, it might bring stuff up, and if you're feeling unresolved, I'm happy to work with you one-on-one or recommend other resources for you, but please know that in this session, it will be the beginning of a powerful change as long as you believe in it. So let's get started. Take a moment to close your eyes and settle in your chair or your bed, wherever you are. Take a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose. And then come out through your mouth with a big old sigh. And do two more breaths like that. Breathing in slowly through the nose. And breathing out fully through the mouth. And one more deep breath in, soft breath out. And then with your eyes closed, just letting all of your attention be inward and go back in time, not to something traumatic, not something that's like a huge big T trauma you experienced, but sometime that you felt performance anxiety. in some sort of sexual context and just bring it back to mind. As clearly as you can, for a moment, just remember what you were seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting. And just notice, what were the thoughts that you heard in your head? And how is your body responding? Did you feel numb and dissociated? Did you feel closed and tight and constricted? Was your heart pounding? Were you cold or hot? Just be uncomfortable for just a moment, just so you can track it, and then see from a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 is it doesn't bother you at all, it's completely gone, and 10 is it's the worst thing ever, how much performance anxiety does this bring up in you in this moment? And so just go ahead and track that number. If you have your journal nearby, you can write it down. And then we'll begin tapping with that in mind, this performance anxiety that you've experienced. Coming here to, they're called the sore spots under your collarbones, about halfway down your chest. If you start rubbing, you'll sense there's just a spot that always feels a little sore. So rubbing your sore spots and repeating after me. Even though I have this performance anxiety, it is what it is. And even though I feel anxious, I'm open to the possibility of loving and accepting myself. Even though I feel this anxiety, I accept that it's here right now. And then come up to the top of your head and repeating after me, this performance anxiety. And tapping the inside of your eyebrow. It comes up during sex. Having the side of the eye. I feel it in my body. Tapping under the eyes. Ah, this anxiety in my body. Tapping under the nose. This anxiety when I think about performing in the bedroom. And take a deep breath. Make a sound of how that anxiety feels. And then tap your chin. I'm open to loving and accepting myself anyway. Tapping the front of your chest. This anxiety, I feel it in my, where? Where does it show up in your body? Is it in your gut, in your chest, in your jaw, your belly, your heart? And tap the front of your ribs. I have this anxiety in my, let's say it again, where is it? It is what it is. And tapping under your armpits. I have this anxiety. I can acknowledge it. This performance anxiety happens to me. And tapping the inside of the wrist and take another big, deep, noisy breath. I'm open to the possibility of loving and respecting myself. And now we're going to go a little bit deeper. Tap the side of your thumb and get more specific. What is your performance anxiety about? I feel anxious about what? Finishing too fast, not squirting, not staying hard, not pleasing my partner. What is it? And tap your index finger and say it again. Yep, when I think about what? I feel anxious. And then tap your middle finger. Oh, I've got performance anxiety. Tap the bottom of the ring finger. I'm still open to the possibility of loving and respecting myself. Tapping the pinky. All this performance anxiety. Tapping the side of the hand. It happens when? Say it again. Coming back to the top of the head. I'm so tired of feeling this way. But it is what it is. I accept that I have performance anxiety. And I'm open to the possibility it won't last forever. So stop tapping for a second and grab a drink of water and just track in your body. Now that we've gone through this first round, what is the number of your performance anxiety? Has it increased? Has it stayed the same? Has it decreased? So just tracking that for yourself. So for most people, it starts to go down here. So we're going to do a little bit of a somatic check-in where with this next round of tapping, we're going to specifically tune in to the physical sensation that shows up in your body around performance anxiety. And so I'm going to use the phrase this remaining anxiety, but if you still have a lot, just say this anxiety. Or if it's gone, then you can just say I had this anxiety. But if you're like most people, there's probably at least a little bit of performance anxiety still here. So let's go to the eyebrow and start tapping again. This remaining performance anxiety. When I think about what, tapping the side of the eye, I feel it in my where? Where in your body do you feel it? Does your yoni start to close? Does your jaw tighten? Tapping under your eye. And go even further as you stay with the tapping, but really go into that felt sense. Performance anxiety, you know you have it when your body reacts in what way? Just describe it as best you can for the next 30 seconds. Tap under your nose, take a really big breath, and just acknowledge this performance anxiety with a sigh. Oh. And tapping on your chin. I'm open to loving and forgiving myself for holding on to this in my body. Tapping the front of your chest, all over your chest. And see if it feels right in this moment. Just go ahead and do it. Just give yourself some forgiveness. I forgive myself for being anxious, for putting pressure on myself to perform. I'm sorry. I've been storing this tension in my body. And tap the front of the ribs and take another big deep breath. I love and respect myself. And tapping under the armpits. I love and respect my body. And then tap the inside of your wrists and just tune in to what might happen if you allowed this sensation to soften. Maybe direct your breath to this place in your body where you've been holding the tension that manifests as performance anxiety. So tap the side of your thumb. Take another big, deep breath. Tapping the index finger. I give myself permission to soften this anxiety. And if it feels true, say, I give myself permission to start to let it go. And then tapping the middle finger, open to loving and respecting myself. And tapping the bottom of the fourth finger, just tuning back into that sensation. Is it still there or has it disappeared? And if it's still there, maybe it has something more to tell you. And if it's disappeared, maybe you have some new clarity. So go ahead and tap your pinky, taking a big breath. And then for the next 1 minute, as you tap the side of your hand, let this part speak to you, this anxiety. If it has something to say, let it speak to you. Or if you have new clarity as it's softened, let that clarity come forward and just speak it out loud for the next minute. Taking another 10 seconds or so, and then when you feel complete, get another big drink of water. And now that we've done two rounds of tapping, tuning in to the number from 0 to 10, how strong is the performance anxiety now? We're going to go into my favorite part of the tap, and we would do a lot more of this if we had a full session, but for this mini tap, we're only going to scratch the surface of the part that I'm guessing, if you're anything like most of my clients and like me, when you feel anxious, it's because there's a part of you that's trying to protect you. And that part has probably felt some kind of rejection, some kind of shame, some kind of embarrassment in the past around sexuality, and it does not want to feel that way again. And so this part is trying to protect you to keep you from feeling that emotion in the future. But most of the time, that protector doesn't have updated information. And most of the time, we haven't paid attention to that protector. We just try to push it away or ignore it. So what we're going to do right now is we're just going to befriend this protector part. So we're going to get to go in and listen to it and have a little conversation to just speak to this part directly. So I like to start by tapping on the top of the head and imagining that this part has come out of me and is now sitting in a chair next to me. So you can do that, or maybe the part of you wants to be outside looking in your window or laying on your bed or somewhere else. But if it feels right, just imagining that you have this part here, and it's this part that is the part that is performance anxiety. And so just take a moment to look at it and tap the inside of your eyebrows and just really look into the eyes of this part and just say, I see you. And then as you tap the side of your eye, just say, I know, you're trying to protect me. And tapping under the eye, thank you for trying to protect me. And then tapping under the nose, I'm just here to acknowledge that you exist and to say thank you. And then tapping on the chin, and just notice how the part receives that. And maybe this part wants to say something back. Maybe it's like, hey, yeah, I exist. You've been ignoring me for a long time. Thank you. So tapping the front of your chest. And when that part feels done speaking, just say, thank you. Thank you for telling me whatever it is you need me to know. And then you can change these next phrases to be what's more clear and true for you, but these are ones that often people feel. Tapping the front of the ribs. Thank you for trying to protect me from being judged. Tapping under the armpits. Thanks for trying to keep me safe from rejection and shame. tapping the inside of the wrist. You've been trying to protect me for a long time now. Thank you for working so hard. Tapping the thumb. I'm open to creating a new relationship with you now. Tapping the index finger. It starts by just listening. So tap the middle finger, and for the next 30 seconds, what does this part need you to know? Tapping the bottom of the fourth finger. I love and respect you. Thank you for letting me know. And then tapping your pinky. This is the beginning of a new relationship between us. I'm going to start listening to you more now. And you don't have to hijack me during sex anymore. We can work together to find a sense of safety. Tapping the side of the hand. I'm here with you. I love you, anxious part. Thank you for all you've done. I'm willing to create a new relationship with you, so that we both have more pleasure during sex. And then make a big old sound and give your body a stretch. And then tracking as you take another drink, what is the number from 0 to 10 that you feel in the performance anxiety realm right now? And we're gonna close out the tap with instilling some positive possibilities for you in this new part that you've connected with, or maybe you've connected with this part in the past, to deepen this this new relationship. So coming back to the top of your head and just repeating after me, what if I could just feel presence and ease instead of performance anxiety? Tapping the eyebrow, I am ready for that. Tapping the side of the eye, I give myself permission to be present. Tapping under the eye, I give myself permission to be agendaless. Tapping under the nose, I give myself permission to play instead of perform. Tapping on the chin, I give myself permission to be curious. Tapping all over the front of the ribs, or sorry, the front of the chest. I give myself permission to enjoy every moment. Tapping the front of the ribs. My body knows how to have pleasure. Tapping under the armpits. I'm willing to listen. Yeah. Tapping the inside of the wrist. I'm claiming embodied intimacy. Tapping the thumb. This is my birthright. Tapping the index finger. I'm open to more ease in my connections. Tapping the middle finger. I'm open to new experiences of pleasure. Tapping the bottom of the fourth finger. I trust my body's wisdom. Tapping the pinky. I love and respect myself. And then tapping the side of the hand. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. So tapping all over the body as you tune into how it feels to be in this new state of positive possibilities where you are able to play and be curious instead of perform. And that, my dear friends, is the end of our mini tap. And so I want to encourage you, listening to the podcast, to pause this and actually journal about what came up for you, what transformations you experienced. And I like to use the phrase, I came in feeling X and I'm leaving feeling Y. So I'll throw that back to both of you beautiful goddesses, if you want to share how this practice was for you and any questions that you might have about it.
Oh, wow. I mean, it was just, it was superbly psychedelic. It was such a journey and so well-rounded. And that last, I'm still integrating. I'm still feeling like a bit fuzzy. So I'm like really coming back to my body and trying to articulate. Mm-hmm. But the last session of tapping, I was feeling immense amounts of pleasure to the point where I was like, am I going to orgasm right now through tapping? I was like, it started to really like build. And I was like, this would be a new experience of pleasure for me, like without any clitoral stimulation. Uh-huh. I'm still feeling like superbly turned on. So like, wow, I just want to, I know there's more gold for me to digest from this experience, but I want to thank you immensely for, like, I really understand now what you mean when you say psychedelic EFT. I was like, what is that? And you can talk about it all day, but until you experience it and move mm-hmm. through the practice, mm-hmm. I'm like, holy shit, this is powerful work, babe.
Yeah. Woo! And I can't even imagine doing this on psychedelics too.
Yeah.
I had like a really emotional experience. And can you guys hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay. Cut off for a second. But yeah, I was just feeling a lot of stuff.
I think there's something wrong with Heather's.
Yeah. I was just feeling maybe. A lot of.
Heather's camera,
maybe.
Me? Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you, but it's everything's fragmented and slow.
You're psychedelic right now.
Yeah. We can hear you, but it's everything's fragmented. Yeah.
I'm in a psychedelic portal.
Mm-hmm. Maybe can you mute yourself, Heather? I think that might
maybe
be
can you mute yourself?
So let's try this. Yeah, so I had a really emotional experience where I connected to a recent experience of just putting pressure on myself and feeling shame and feeling frustration and feeling disappointment. And I started crying and was just connecting to this part of me that has been trying to protect me my whole life, like literally growing up with such deep ingrained beliefs that there's so much shame in sexuality and masturbation and pleasure, and then like having been sexually violated when I was young. Like, wow, this piece of me has really just been trying to keep me safe, and it's been doing such a phenomenal job at that. And I was just having so much compassion instead of beating this part of me up. I was just like holding it in my arms and embracing it and giving it so much gratitude and kind of like renegotiating its role a bit. Like, I still want you to protect me. I still want you to help me to value the sacredness of my sexuality and my womb space and all of that. But I don't want to be protected from my own pleasure. And the message I just kept getting was that a lot of this was stored in my mind. And as soon as I start to be in my mind, I disassociate and lose the experience. So I was just breathing so much into my head and like feeling this clearing and this openness and spaciousness of just totally melting into this place of presence. And yeah, where nothing else exists mm-hmm. in my mind. And yeah, it felt good. I noticed that the numbers went up before they went down, but then they eventually went way down at the end. So thank you for this practice. It was a really powerful alchemical process.
Yeah, I would love to hear if either one of you want to say you came in feeling, I'm assuming anxious because that was the word we were working on, and you're leaving feeling what? Like,
Oh
what's
man.
coming, what's here instead of anxiety now?
Yeah, I came in feeling anxious and tense, and now I feel spacious and turned on and deeply connected to my body. Like, yeah, now that I'm grounded, can I share just like one more thing that came through that was really surprising, actually? Like, I also had suppressed sexual trauma that's like been revealing itself, like, as it's meant to. Like, not everything has really like been coming to the surface of my consciousness. But when I was speaking to this part, I was, and you were like, oh, like provide space for it to communicate to you. I had like no idea what it was going to say. And it was like, I've actually been keeping you safe from harm. My internet is
You're
breaking
just,
up. Are you able to
no, it's breaking
hear
up
me?
again.
We lost you again, Heather.
Yeah, but she was saying that this piece also is trying to
Mean, I'm
protect her safe. I think it's maybe best if you don't talk anymore because it's not working. It's just, yeah, distorted. But if
Yes.
you want me to share something, Heather, you can type it in the chat and I can share it on behalf of you.
Definitely.
But I was coming in feeling, I thought it was just anxiety, but I also realized there is a lot of fear around, like, I'm going to be left behind. I'm not going to be, it's not, yeah, basically, like, I'll be left behind. That was like the fear, if I can't do this. So there's like a lot of pressure and anxiety, fear and anxiety. And then now I'm feeling more compassion and hope. That's what I feel. Yeah.
Yay.
That's
So
helpful.
that leads. Oh, let's see. I'll let you read what Heather said.
She says there is a part of her that was protecting her from harm. It was saying that if I don't please them, then I am in danger. Which was a really interesting and provided a huge release.
Just having that release
Yeah.
is so big.
Yeah, I resonate with that too.
Really feeling you, Heather. Yeah.
That's the fear, right? If we don't please them, then there's like going to be a repercussion. And there's so much. Like women have taken this on, like systemically, like it's our job to please our partners. So,
We could totally do a whole part two on
yeah, right?
that.
We should, honestly. All right, so yeah, you're gonna play a Sunni song now.
Yeah, so I love to end my tapping sessions with this song that's called Fill My Soul with Love. And I like to insert some other words that we want to fill our souls up with. And so, one of those words you're both going to really enjoy. And I invite everyone listening to sing along. And depending on when this is released, it may or may not be out on Spotify yet. But all my music, when it is released, is out on Spotify, Victoria Angel Heart, or anywhere else that you listen to music. So, I'm super happy to anchor in this practice of releasing performance anxiety. Because anxiety is just is a piece of fear, and we can either in every moment of our lives be in a state of fear or in a state of love. And I want to invite everyone listening to wrap up this podcast in a state of love. So choosing to fill your soul up with love. Ooh.
Yay! And also in love. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. This has just been, oh, mind, body, soul experience, truly. And yeah, so grateful to have you on this show. So grateful for all the wisdom and knowledge that you dedicated your entire life to gaining and empowering yourself and being that living, breathing transmission, showing us what's possible, what's possible. I'm so inspired by you. I'm so intrigued to know more. I know both of us would love to a part two. I'm sure our listeners would as well. And Heather is saying that was stunning and you are magic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, and before we close this conversation, I just want to give you a minute to just share where our listeners can connect with you. We'll add these links below, but like how they can connect with you best and if you have any new offerings that you're excited to share about too.
Well, I was just featured in a book that came out a couple days ago, so I want to shout that book out. It's called Hands On Anthology: Stories of Intimacy and Sexual Healing Work from the Field. And so I had a story, it was originally titled Nate's Penile Conundrum, but the publisher didn't like that title. So you can read my story about how I used both EFT and somatic sex education to help a client integrate early sexual trauma to be able to really get that stored experience I was stuck in his penis out and to be able to feel connected and whole inside of himself again. So that's one thing, just shouting out that book, The Hands-On Anthology. And my website is tapintofreedom.love. And my work is also on Instagram. I have three other podcasts I've been interviewed on this week. So there's going to be a lot more on, if you look my name up on podcasts, I'm guessing you'll find all of them in the next month or so. And the last thing is, my work is really going all online now. For a long time, I was just doing this in person, but I've developed my psychedelic EFT to be able to do legal psychedelic ketamine journeys with people all over the world virtually, and to be able to do my EFT tapping sessions, doing Tap into Freedom with people all over the place. And so I really just want to call in anyone who is ready for that sense of embodied intimacy and the freedom so that they can live confidently in the bedroom and in the boardroom and everywhere in between. So thank you all so much for having me. And thank you to all of the listeners. This has been such a pleasure.
Wow. Yeah, your mission is clearly being reverberated on the planet right now. The fact that you're being asked to be in so many shows right now just really shows a testament to how powerful this work is. So thank you again for your mission. Thank you for your angel aura, beautiful smile and radiance. Thank you for being able to squirt fountains and inspiring us all to know that it's possible. I feel like I'm just receiving codes, just connecting with you. And yeah, we'll talk about a part two. And thanks everyone for tuning in and listening. Make sure to go check out her stuff, check out her Instagram, read that book. And if you feel inspired to, yeah, take it to the next level with Victoria. And Heather says goodbye too.
Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences need to be broken. Each week, we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it.